and open it up. And inside, you see a box of red ripe strawberries. Now take the box out. And take a strawberry out of it. You hold it by the green part. And head over to your sink. And turn on some cool water. And wash the strawberry. Now take the strawberry with the water dripping off of it. Hold it up to your nose and smell the strawberry. Now take the strawberry and take a big bite of it. Hold it in your mouth and chew it. Now open your eyes.
Just starts recording.
Mm-hmm. So how many of you guys saw the strawberry? You can just raise your hand. How many of you guys felt the sensation, either the fuzzy green part or the cool water on your hands? How many of you guys felt it? And how many of you heard it? Heard the water or the refrigerator opening or any other? And how many of you tasted the strawberry? And how many of you just knew that the strawberry was there, but you didn't necessarily have any visual or auditory sensation? Okay, so what this exercise is doing is it's starting to introduce us to the concept of how our intuition manifests for us. And some of you may have one or multiple of those senses happen for you. So our intuition can manifest for us in any combination of ways. We talk a lot about the clair senses. And in this we have, nine clair senses. And I'm going to actually read a little pamphlet that we have, and you'll see me reading from my phone on the different ones.
Can you guys hear her okay?
I'm pretty loud.
Are you? Okay. Yeah. Then it's
general,
just me.
In general.
Okay.
I've never been told maybe I'm quiet.
Maybe she's just quieter than usual. So,
I am a little altered. Okay. So you have clairvoyance, claircognizance, clairaudience, clairempathy, clairsentience, clairtangency, clairsalience, clairgustance, and clairintellect. Intellect is actually one that Colleen and I have added to the clair senses that we see commonly. So clairvoyant is clear seeing. You receive extrasensory impressions and symbols in the form of mental images through your mind's eye, your third eye. You may be clairvoyant if you experience vivid dreams, visions, mental images, mini movies that flash into your inner awareness. You may be able to see the colors of energy fields around people, plants, and animals. Or perhaps you are able to see angels, ghosts, and other beings. So clairvoyance is very visual, and this is a lot of us think of the clair senses as just clairvoyance, but that's why we talk about the other ones, because your intuition can take any of these forms, and some of these forms that aren't even listed on here. So claircognizance is clear knowing, when you just suddenly know something to be true, even though you didn't see it, hear it, or feel it. You just know it. It's a stroke of instant insight or a download of information that needs no processing or interpretation. Claircognizance can be experienced as a nagging idea or unrelenting thought. much like the persistent awareness that someone is lying to you when you have no physical evidence of it. Then next we have clairaudience. So if you are clairaudient, which is clear hearing, you're able to perceive sounds, words, or noise from the spiritual or ethereal realms. Someone is clairaudient if they mainly receive their intuitive information with their inner or outer hearing. Yes, we are talking about hearing voices, either outside of yourself or in your head. An example of this one, I like this example, is you're driving to work and suddenly hear, take the next exit. And there's nobody in the vehicle to say that to you, but you somehow just know that this is what you're supposed to be doing. Clair empathy is clear emotion. If you sense other people's emotions, thoughts, and symptoms, it is the awareness or perception of emotional energy. You don't necessarily experience the feeling in your body, but you are aware of the feeling. You think of Troy from Star Trek: The Next Generation. She could sense other people's emotions. Or ever walk into a room after. I don't really like this example. You guys know what empathy is. The other thing that we like to talk about with empathy, because I think actually the majority of us that go into this work have some sort of natural empathetic abilities. What can happen to us in this, however, is we can start to get a bit of an imbalance of empathy. And it's really important that we understand that we are very empathetic and that we can get what's called compassion fatigue. And I know we talked about this a little bit in the other lesson, that we can get compassion fatigue and we tend to take people's stuff on. So we actually wrote something recently that says our empathy, while it is perfectly natural and normal to feel empathy, it is important that we do not move into an imbalance of empathy. It is not our role to take on others' pain, injuries, situations, or journeys. But instead, it's our role to support the process as healing and learning unfolds for everyone involved. So as healers and light workers, I think the majority of us have pretty strong empathy. We do tend to feel what other people are feeling. And for me, I wouldn't even say that it's necessarily one of my clairs. So a lot of us may have it as a clair. For me, I have empathy, but it is also not a clair. I don't necessarily use it as an intuitive force, as an intuitive tool for me. Where Colleen actually does use her empathy, it is one of her clairs. So you may have empathy and it may not manifest as intuition, and you just feel other people's stuff. And I guess that is a little bit of a form of intuition, but I don't use it as a tool for myself.
Well, I'd like to explain a little bit more about that, because there's clair empathy and then there is also intuitive empathy. So the clair empathy is when you just feel what other people feel, but it doesn't mean you necessarily are able to separate what is theirs and what is yours. With the intuitive empathy, you can actually now intuit what is happening for them, but you can notice that it's theirs and you don't actually experience the feeling of it. So there's two different ways to look at it. I would say that for myself, I naturally had the clair empathy, and then I developed the skill to use intuitive empathy. I had to actually use Reiki. It's probably one of the single biggest gifts that Reiki gave me, was a tool to manage my empathy, because I could walk into any circumstance and feel what anybody was feeling. I can tap into what's happening in the world and feel those feelings. And so I had to train myself to understand what is mine and what belongs to somebody else. But now I have the intuition that I can utilize and stay separate from the actual feeling of it. So I don't have to experience the feeling to intuit the empathy.
And why we feel that it's important to learn how to manage your empathy is several reasons. That compassion fatigue that we were talking about, when you continue to take on people's stuff, it draws your own life force. Where if you're able to use Reiki to manage your empathy, first of all, you can use Reiki as the conduit, and it that way it's not coming from you, it's actually coming from the Reiki energy. So you're not taking people's stuff on. The other thing that it does is it moves you from the level of the problem to the level of solution. When you are not in the level of the problem, in the level of, like, if let's just use a world event as an example, if you tap into the grief of the world event, and that maybe is not yours or something like that, all you end up doing is kind of suffering along with it. When you're able to manage that and separate your empathy and that feeling, you can move into the level of solution, because you're now in a place where you can think of solutions. How can I help? How can this become effective? What can I contribute here in order to help in any way? So by managing your empathy, it definitely moves you out of one place and into kind of a higher vibration place.
I have a really easy example of that share.
Yeah.
this is when I actually really understood this difference was with Hurricane Katrina. And when Hurricane Katrina hit, and it wasn't. That is a different example. That's a good one too, but I meant a different one. I'm talking about when there was the oil spill in the Gulf. Yeah, in the Gulf. And at the time, the people who caused the oil spill were the same people who had to find the solution. And I felt the energy, the empathic energy of all the anger directed at those people. And it looked like this huge cloud of just attack energy. And I thought, how are those people going to be able to move their consciousness through that condemnation and into the solution? So where I went with that then was send them solution, send them higher consciousness, send them inventiveness, send Reiki, you know, send like, you can do it, you can do this. And so it really showed me how to shift how I was thinking about it. And it also changed then how I felt about it. So it was quite a bit of, it was empowering instead of depleting. Where when I was originally in the grief of it and the anger of it, it was a difficult place to be. And I also felt ineffective. Yeah. And so shifting how I thought about it with my empathy took my experience of it into a productive belief.
Productive.
Yeah.
Moves you from the problem, the level of the problem, to the level of
solution.
Yeah. Go ahead, Munikai, did you want to say something? You can unmute yourself.
Yes. Thank you for this deeper explanation of clair empathy, because it explains a lot of how what I've been going through as far as when world events happen, and I would feel it and I would think on it and I would try to be part of the solution. But as you say, we would get stuck in, I guess, what you call the Claire empathy of it, so that we are drawn in and drawn to the problem and we're losing our life force. And, you know, credit Lena, even though I had the book on Reiki, credit Lena for having the foresight to go ahead and get Reiki attuned, and that led me to get Reiki. And she'll tell you that I've been able to shift now so that I can even, well, turn off some of the things, and it's like, or still like be aware of it, but not be so emotionally drawn in. I'd not be have to quote unquote take it home with me, wake up with it, and those kind of that kind of thing. So yes, that was, I guess, the now that we have language for it, is the Claire empathy. I was very, very open, I guess you could say.
Yeah. And it is it's one of those skill builders that over time, once you have the idea that there is a skill that you can develop to really utilize your empathy in a way that is effective. Because when you're a practitioner, we see some very, very intensive things that people come to us with. And if you get engaged in, you know, the energy of their feelings,
it's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable.
No.
And then you can't help.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, for me, it was so bad. I never thought I could work as a healer. Because I thought, if they cry, I'm going to cry right with them. And not that that doesn't happen to a degree, but I can't let myself go there because I need to help them. Mm-hmm. And I can't help them if I'm buried in the same feelings they're feeling.
Yeah.
So moving it to an intuition to where I can, and I had to think about that. I had to be conscious of it. And Reiki, of course, actually assists with each of your clairs, whether it's clair empathy or, you know, clairvoyance or anything. You know, it can actually help you become skilled at your clair. I just had a woman tell me the other day, I forget sometimes about the things I say, and I was at my son's house and his friends were there, and I just talked about how my mom called and my mom is dead. So, I forgot that, you know, that wasn't just a normal thing to say. I was like, oh yeah, mom called. And, you know, in our family,
like, she literally called on her cell phone.
She literally calls on her phone, on my phone,
on her cell
phone. And it comes up and it says mom on my phone.
I've seen it. It's totally crazy.
Yeah, so, it is. Yeah. So
yeah.
Anyway, to me, it's like, it's fun, but it's like, even in this group, you guys are not going, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so anyway.
But
then
normal
this,
people. Yeah. Like, eh.
So she started, this neighbor started talking about somebody she knew who could, you know, talk about how she could see dead people and she had this and that. And I said, you know, the real difference with all of it is, what skill do you have with all of these things? So, like in the clair senses, where, you know, yes, my granddaughter is already seeing my mother, and she sees angels. She physically sees them. Well, then we can teach her how to manage that. What's challenging is when you have these abilities and either you've learned to suppress them or you've never learned what they are, mm-hmm. or you think it should show up a different way than how yours is showing up, or you don't actually understand yours. what is really great with Reiki, and when you actually start thinking about, oh, I have a style of intuition, that then starts that process of really being able to notice it, develop it, and become skilled with it.
Well, and even in your personal life, let me see somebody's chat. In your personal life, I'll notice that mine gets out of balance, and I'll have to call Colleen, and I can tell that I am in the grief or the stress of it. And what I can do, and I may not be able to get out of it in that moment, and I'll call her and say, I need solutions, and I can't get out of my, out of the grief of the event. Just as an example, my dog nipped at Luna because Luna went after her, and it was a defense thing, and I was so upset by it. So upset, because I was like, gosh, do we have to worry about the dog, like getting rid of the dog? Do we have to worry about, you know, how do we handle this? And I called her, and I love my dogs. They're my other children. So the idea of that was not really an option at the time. And so, and I called her and I said, I can't get out of my grief. I knew that I was in the grief of all of the possibilities that could happen. And so it didn't give me any solutions at the time. I was like, I need solutions. So I need to be able to move out of this place and into a place of solutions. And once you start to kind of recognize that, and even though I still needed assistance to do it, I could recognize that's like, I can't get out of the grief of this. I can't get out of the stress. I need to move into solution. And once you can switch that and move into a different place, you can't. And we did move into solution, and we figured out training, and we figured out, you know, how to train Luna, how to train us, how to train the dog, and all of these solutions and resources, people that we know that work with dogs, animals. And I called her and said, what do I do? And she gave me resources. Here's books to read. So when you can move into the problem or into the solution, that's when actual like healing, that's when solutions take place. So it can be in your daily life too.
Yeah, it is in your daily
life. It's in your daily life. It's how we can kind of move through this life. And that's just, she's, my dog's right here. We didn't have to get rid of her. So that was what I thought. But it is also about stress. You know, you'll move out of, trying to move out of your stress into the solutions. And when you can start recognizing that you're kind of into the empathy, you're in the feelings of it, then you can move more into solutions in your life and make more conscious choices too.
And so I'm going to just add one little bit to that is I find I can do that really easily with Reiki. Mm-hmm. So you know how often I talk about Reiki on the fly? This is one of the areas that I can do some pretty good, like I'll notice my mind, I'll bring in holy fire, or I'll bring in a different symbol, whatever I feel guided to do. And sometimes it can shift in a minute, just quickly, the moment I just notice, oh. And I usually notice because I'm uncomfortable, mm-hmm. and I don't like the way I'm feeling. So when I'm not feeling a way that I like to be feeling, then I stop and ask, well, what is this? And I use Reiki to do that part, and then use Reiki to help me get into from the problem to the solution.
Yeah.
And you can do Reiki on the fly. You can take time to do self-Reiki. Sometimes I'll do self-Reiki, you know, it might take 30 minutes, which can even be a short period of time for the level of whatever it is mm-hmm. that I'm going through.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, and just as the example, when I recognized with Davina the dog that I needed to move into a different state, I had called in Reiki, and what it did is it didn't provide me with a solution in that moment of like, here's exactly what you need to do. What it did do is it's like, okay, I know that I need to call her and like get some outside help here. And that could, that sometimes is a solution. So solutions don't always present themselves as just straightforward, here's all your problems solved. But what it does do is it highlights how you need to move forward in this so that you can get to the place of solution. So, okay. That was just clear empathy, clear sentience. Clairsentient is clair physical feeling. You obtain intuitive insight by way of a physical experience in your body. You have a gut feeling or something doesn't feel right, and you experience it viscerally as a physical sensation in your body. So this could be like if you're not feeling necessarily other people's emotions. You're actually maybe feeling their ailments or injuries. Example, if somebody has a broken arm, your arm hurts. If somebody has a stomach ache, your stomach hurts. Or maybe it's not, maybe your stomach isn't in pain, but you can feel a physical sensation in your stomach. And that tells you that something in their stomach is wrong. Clairtangency. Clairtangency is clear touching. If you have the ability to perceive facts about an event or person by contact with or proximity to the object or person, this is also commonly known as psychometry. So you may be clairtangent if you quickly gain formerly unknown insights when you hold someone's watch or touch their hand, or if you pick up an old antique at a flea market or touch an old building. So this is, you hold somebody's hand and you gain some sort of intuitive knowledge from that. Clairsalience. For those with clairsalience, which is clear smelling, insights come through the perception of smell, such as smelling a fragrance or an odor or substance, person, place, or animal that is not in your immediate surroundings. For an example of this is that you are cleaning the house when all of a sudden you get a strong smell of a perfume that your deceased grandmother used to wear. These odors are perceived without the use of your physical nose. So you just kind of know that you smell them. Then we have clairgustance. Clairgustance is clear tasting. You receive psychic information through your sense of taste without having any physical source of the taste in your mouth. People can sometimes report tasting a favorite food or drink from a loved one who has passed away. And then clairintellect, that's not actually in our little handy dandy guide here. Clairintellect is clear thinking. And clear thinking is one that Colleen and I have really spent a lot of time with because I'm pretty clairintellect. I actually really think a lot of my intuition. I have a lot of intuition come through when I'm doing very kind of left brain things, such as writing outlines. I actually use that as a form of my intuition, and it is almost like an automatic writing in that sense, but it's a little different. If you think about a scientist coming up with a new way of doing things, that would be like a clear intellect. They're thinking, their intuition. And this one has been so important for so many of us left brain thinkers because we have this kind of culturally created belief that if we have a very linear, logical mind, we are also not on the other right brain side of the spectrum, where we can also be creative and intuitive and inventive and innovative or artistic. And that's just not true. It just comes to us in a different form, but it's still a form of intuition. So it might, you know, mathematicians, they're intuitive. Scientists are intuitive. So just because you think you're intuition does not mean that you're not intuitive. And this is one of those that you have to hone your skill around them, but I've definitely noticed that I have to I have to know when it's like my brain thinking and when I have intuition coming through. And that's the same as the rest of them. It's a skill that you develop. But when you know that clairintellect is a type of intuition, it's so helpful to start to discern that. And now I know when, like, oh, this is totally going into intuition, even though it feels just like a thought. But they are a bit different. Like, now I have honed this skill enough to know, like, okay, this is definitely my intuition coming through.
Yeah, we call it a bright mind. You know, you're in your bright mind or your ordinary mind.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
As a learning scientist, I'm not understanding why you are differentiating, because claircognizance is your cognition and your cognition is your intellect. So I'm not understanding why you're splitting hairs between and creating something new, because claircognizance is your cognition, that is your intellect. So based on learning sciences, your being cognizant, your cognition is the brain. That is your intellect.
So probably where this comes from, Brenda, is the number of people when I'm teaching Reiki classes, where I notice, and shamanic classes, where I notice how often people will talk about, well, I had a thought, but I think I probably made it up because it was just a thought. So the clear cognizance, I think of more as a clear knowing, where you have just that internal knowingness, where a clear intellect, I think of more as people actually hearing the sound of their own words through their own, it's their own voice talking to them.
And I'd like to actually add to this too, because I have both. I have clear cognizance and clear intellect. Clear cognizance for me actually manifests as I don't have a visual mental image of something. So like, if you just think of the strawberry as an example, I don't actually see any visual of the strawberry, but I may know that the strawberry is. It's like I know it in my mind's eye, and I can kind of see it in my mind's eye, but there's absolutely no visual thing happening there. And that's actually different for me than my intuitive thought. So, you know, these two, these are all just guidelines as well. So it's a kind of a starting point. This is not the end-all be-all of the definitions of all of these. These are guidelines to open up the idea to everyone that your intuition is your own, and that you can tap into your intuition, because not everybody is in tune to it, that they know exactly how it comes to them. And so these are just like a jumping off point. And I had said this in the other one, that my intuition comes to me in movie scenes. Like, it references scenes from movies. Like, I will have it come through in a session of, like, this scene from this movie, this is exactly what this means. That's not an intuition style. It's not like clear cinema. Like, I don't, you know, but because I know that, and it happens frequently. So now at this point, I know that this is an intuition style. Because I know that that your clear senses can be an entire spectrum, this broad, broad range of things, I recognize this is valid. And it is valid. It's really helpful when it comes through. And when I describe it to clients or for things for myself, it's really, really helpful. And it's always dead on. So these aren't just like, this definition is the only way that this can come through. But I can tell you one thing, knowing that my thought process is also my intuition, because I am also very left brain, has been super helpful for me. So that might not be the case for you though, you know, but it has helped me tap into my own intuition style. And that's more of the important message that we're talking about here, is understanding that intuition is different for everybody, and it's about how you experience it and how your inner guidance manifests for you.
Yeah, I'm teaching about intuition over the years, and it's, you know, it's a major thing that I've taught over the years. There are a couple of things that people commonly say, and probably the first thing they say is, well, I'm not sure if I made it up. And so, and then the other thing that they say, if particularly if their intuition is different than what the kind of the broad version of what we think intuition is, then they think they don't have an intuition, or intuition is just for this certain kind of people. And so in my classes, where I find I have a lot of people that come in with very analytical minds, it is very helpful for them to understand that their analytical mind is just as intuitive as a person who has like a clear knowing, because their intuition is coming through an actual language they know, words they know. You know, it's like they're talking to themselves.
So I hear you, and I'm not arguing against anything you're saying. I'm just saying that you're creating another word and giving cognizance a more limited definition than is found in the learning world. In the learning sciences, we do not limit cognizance the way that you are in creating clear intellect. We would include all of those aspects in that spectrum. We would not limit it the way you have limited it. So I'm just letting you know that there's a different way of understanding that in community. And it's not saying it's one or the other, or that something is missing. It's that all of those are encompassed in that word.
And so would you think of all of the crazy part of claircognizance then? In a technical way, would they all then be intellect?
So let me explain it differently in that. Each of these is around your sensing, your senses, one of which is your brain, one of which is your nose, one of which is your eyes. So within the eyes, Robin can see a movie scene. She can hear maybe some aspects of that movie scene, but she's seeing it, as opposed to seeing symbols, as opposed to seeing. So there's a whole spectrum of which some people may see a whole variety of things, or they may see certain things in certain ways and not other things. It's a spectrum. And it's the same thing, whether it's your ears, your nose, your taste, your mind. There is a spectrum of what comes in and what you're sensing at those higher levels. And so some of us may be sensing and sorting in that spectrum in a more broad way. Some of us may have a few, but it's still coming through that sense organ, whether it's your brain, your eyes, your nose, your ears. So that's where I would split it off, because it's how it comes through.
Would you include clairintellect as a part of claircognizance?
Right. I would include all of the ways you describe clairintellect as part of the spectrum of how one uses one's brain, which is how you cognize. Okay. Your cognition is your brain. That's your brain organ, just like your eyes might see a video picture or you might see a movie. Maybe Robin didn't see the strawberry, but she sees movie scenes. That's how she sees through her mind's eye. And it's her mind's eye, not her visual eye. So it's how those aspects of our embodiment is relating on the physical realm. And so it's how each of those aspects, so that's how we go through, because we say how each of those ears, you're hearing. Someone may say, I only hear these things. Someone else is saying they hear in this way. They intuit their mind hearing in this way. I don't do that, but I do this over here. Someone else may say, oh, I do both.
Yeah.
But it's all through how they audio that. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's through the sense organ that you then say there's a spectrum within that sense organ, and it may be I have this, this, and this, or I have a whole spectrum, or I just have one, or I have none.
Well, I can totally hear that and maybe move then the clair intellect as a descriptive of claircognizance.
Yeah, that is one example, just like Robin's movie scene,
our example.
An example of one that is under how one might see, because she's seeing the movie in action. She's seeing scenes in action, as opposed to a simple, a item thing. So yeah. They're just examples of a spectrum, and that's what she sees, but she doesn't see the strawberry. And that's, I mean, at least I'm just picking up your examples. I mean, I could be making up part of what I'm hearing. But you don't see the strawberry, but you see movie scenes. You're still using your mind's eye because you're still visually noticing them. So however it plays out, it's through that organ.
Well, great. Well, thank you for that explanation. Yeah, I can agree with that. I can hear what you're saying. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
That's really helpful. Okay.
All right.
So let's move on to the next one.
The next one is you.
Okay.
Maybe.
Ah, there it goes. Ah.
Okay.
Do you need the outline?
So the next thing that, yeah, that would probably be okay to do. The next thing we want to talk about, and we've done, again, all of we've touched on a lot of these things, and each month we are building on what we've learned before. So your whole body listening that we started talking about last time is inclusive of how you're listening to your intuition, because listening is actually the foundation of your intuition. So how you are listening, and also that you are listening with your whole body. So your perceptions are experienced through your chakras. And each chakra has the right to have a voice in your decision making, in your solution finding, in the choices that you make, the actions you take, the intentions that you set. And one of the examples that I use with this is also the idea of very often in these healing arts, there are a lot of people who will say, well, you have to get out of your head and get into your heart. And I know I've talked about this before, but I bring it back up again. In the work that I've been doing, particularly with Holy Fire, it has been revealing to me that actually we should be listening to our head and our heart, and we should be listening to all parts of our perceptions, from our material, grounded perceptions on the practical things we need to think about, to the creative things to think about, the self-expression things, your heart, your voice, your truth, your intuition, your inner guidance, your spiritual guidance. And so the imagery, and again, I know I've talked about this before, but the imagery that it shows me is our chakras in the front of our body and the back of our body are like an oval table. And it actually goes into the Earth Star and up to the Soul Star. So it moves in a circle all the way around, and your root chakra here, you have a root chakra in the front and the back, you have a sacral chakra in the front and the back, so your chakras go all the way through, and the way the visual that I've been shown is that each chakra is sitting at the table ready to share its voice with the solution to whatever it is that you are listening for. So we've also identified part of it, and going back to the intellect, talking about the intellect and talking about the intellect that your intellect is far more than just your intelligence. Your intellect is part of your mind, of course, and it is, your intelligence is part of that, but so is your imagination is part of your intellect. Your intuition is part of your intellect. And we have a spiritual intellect that we have before we are even conceived. And then when our spirit, and this is working with that 12th heaven energy that we know now is coming through the Holy Fire 3 energy, we also have our intellect that brings with it our divine gifts. And so our divine gifts are in our divine nature, and they translate into our human nature, and we utilize our imagination, our intuition, our inner guidance, and our deep listening to access it, our intellect. So part of what we're going to do today is we are actually going to do some healing for your intellect to bring you to your authentic intellect, because your intellect is often changed in your lifetime through your life experiences. Through your family of origin can change your intellect, not your true intellect, but how it expresses on the planet, how it expresses as you. Life experiences can change how your intellect and how your imagination, let's move it directly to imagination. It's another thing, again, like intuition, that oftentimes people with a more analytical mind think they don't have much of an imagination. It's been assigned to the artistic, creative kinds of people. And so our imagination also gets changed. And you see that in people, perhaps also in childhood, where they have a fearful childhood and their imagination skills need to actually keep them on heightened alert. They need to be keeping a watchful eye out and be thinking in terms of being on alert, because their safety might be at risk. You also go back to imagination, and you take the same child that has an imagination full of childhood wonder and inventiveness, and you know, you watch how children can play for hours with a box and a spoon to put in the box, and give them a crayon, and now they have even more hours of playing with a box. And how that childhood wonder and imagination opens up the field of possibilities for them and all the resources at their disposal. So what happens in our lifetimes is that our imaginations can be very changed by our life circumstances. And so we're going to be working with healing your imagination tonight as well.
Lee asks if it's like soul retrieval. And I want you to answer that question.
Is your switch like soul retrieval?
Going back and healing our imagination, right, Lee? Yeah, and the different kind of things that happened in our life.
Yes, it would be comparable to that. I think of it as a little bit different than, you know, I get asked this question a lot about, is this work soul retrieval? And I would say that prior to Holy Fire, Reiki, and particularly Holy Fire 2, and now Holy Fire 3, that I'd probably done maybe 4,000 soul retrievals, so a lot. And since then, I've probably done 2,000 or 3,000 of them. And What I would see as the difference is the soul retrieval energy really focuses on the injury to the lost part, to the fragmented part. Where what this energy does is it reveals what is truly there. And the injury is healed through the revealing of your authentic self. So in this case, when your authentic imagination is revealed to you, which, yes, it also is soul retrieval, they just have a different feeling is all I can say. And Lee, I have been trying to define this. William actually asked me to write it maybe a year and a half ago. And I've been asking regularly, like, how can I explain this difference? And what I'm continually shown is the difference is in the revealing. There's so much focus on the revealing of what's really there, more than the focus on the injury that hid what is really there to begin with. Does that help? You're on mute. Hold on.
Okay, what I was curious about, you were talking about the soul retrieval deals with where you've been damaged, I guess. The wounding has happened. Do you need that first before, or is it kind of a thing that works hand in hand? Or
they work hand in hand, and what I notice is that the energy does the work. So in the past, the way I did a soul retrieval is I had a soul retrieval guide, and that guide would go out and find the lost part, the fragmented part, bring that fragmented part, explain why it fragmented to begin with, what happened, and then brought that part back. The way I see this work happening is all of that happens, but what happens is the authentic self is revealed and the healing of the fragmented part is not the focus. The focus is on the authentic self rather than on the part that's being healed. So the part that's being healed is still happening. It just isn't focused on as much. So with that in mind, as you listen to the journey tonight, you can listen for that shift in the difference. So the as we've talked about in these journeys, there's always a process of letting go or of healing, of letting go, and also a process of bringing in. So in this case, there's more focus on the bringing in and the revealing than there is on the what happened to cause the injury to begin with. And what I find as a practitioner is by the time people come to a Reiki practitioner, they have gone through what happened in their life over and over and over and over again. By this point, they just want the energy of it healed. And so, and that's not always true, but really going to what is being revealed is what really is so beneficial. Like, if you think about the difference of, like, the next day you're thinking about, oh, this happened to me, this happened to me, this happened to me, and it caused my soul to fragment. Or you're thinking, here's who I really am. Look at who I am inside, my extraordinary self. So the difference is that it puts you in a whole different perception of who you are.
Oh, there you go.
So I would think it's more of thinking about the fragment and soul retrieval, it's more of a healing process, where this one is more of an unveiling.
Yeah.
All the other parts that you have strengthened. Does that make sense?
Yep, that's exactly. Yeah.
Okay, and so the healing also takes place simultaneously.
Yeah, it does. It's not that the healing isn't happening.
Yeah.
It's the focus of the energy is on the revealing more than the healing. And thank you for asking, because it always gives me another opportunity to think it through and use my words to see how I can explain it, because I do have such a significant before and after level of experience. I've done so much of both that there is a comparative. They're both valuable, so it's not a better than. There's just a difference. And I do prefer this style. So the next thing, The next one that we're going to go to is your instincts. And again, then your instincts are where this really came in for me was in healing. The instincts had to do with the idea that a human being has an instinct of fear, for instance. It's one of our instincts. We need to be able to pay attention to our environment and know if a tiger is on the other side of the fence. Like, what is happening around us in a 360 view? We also need our instincts for all different kinds of things, to survive, to live, to thrive. And what I was shown is that our instincts, and particularly the instinct of fear, has been changed to an actual emotional feeling rather than an instinct that is useful. And so it can take it, again, it's tied in with intellect, it's tied in with imagination, and our instincts get blurred in the mix. So our instincts are a part of our body, and it is very helpful to have our instincts clear. Go ahead and go to the next one. Just like the wolf. I love that picture. And now we have our intuition, and we've talked about our intuition in many different ways. I was talking to William this morning, and he was talking about how he has the ability to visually see his choices and has an intuitive feeling about how each would play out. And I've been thinking about that all day, because I've been thinking about that's exactly why we're learning about this, is to be able to utilize our intuition, our imagination, our instincts, our intellect, our intelligence, all of these parts of us to just live throughout our day, to make decisions, find our solutions. Each day changes. You know, we may have had a month ago, we had a particular intention, and now today, our intention changed because life changed from then to now. And so what we want to have is access to your inner guidance through your intuition, your intellect, and your imagination. If your imagination, as Einstein says, it's more important than knowledge, because imagination is unlimited. And imagination is where everything starts. From the right brain to the left brain, imagination brings the information, the ideas, that then we can use our intuition, decide which ones are ones we're going to contemplate, which ones aren't ones we're going to contemplate. We make decisions and choices all day long, and we don't always need to be completely active in our intuition and have all of our senses heightened. There's many times in our day that we don't have to be in heightened senses, and heightened perceptions. But in the moment that we want them, we want to be able to clearly access quickly what our intuition, what our instincts are telling us, what our imagination knows, and what our intellect, how our intellect puts it all together. So we're going to go ahead and go into a journey. And in this journey, we're going to go ahead and work with whole body listening. And we're going to do a journey to actually heal your intellect, your intuition, and imagination, and reveal your authentic intellect, your authentic imagination, your authentic intuition, and your authentic instincts. So we're going to do a journey to the third heaven. We'll take a break first, but we're going to do a journey to the third heaven. And I'm going to guide you for a while, but then I'm going to have you wander around up there and go explore. And notice while you're there how your intuition is working for you. Are you seeing? Are you feeling? Are you knowing? Are you hearing? So you're going to be listening for your style of intuition and how the journey works for you. So we'll go ahead and take a break. Again, I'm going to guide you through it. There will be the opportunity for automatic writing. So when we take a break, you might want to go ahead and get your music set up, get your journal set up, and then we're going to go on a guided journey, and you're going to have the opportunity to work with your intuition and with your authentic intellect. So, or I should say, to reveal it, to be more accurate, for that to be revealed within you. Okay, so any questions before we take a break?
None.
All righty. Okay, we'll take a break and come back. Just come back when you're ready.
Yeah. Okay, stop, re-record.
Oh, yeah. First.